All right, everyone, we are together again with our guest, Miss Darlene Lancer, who is just an amazing lady, an attorney, and a licensed marriage and family therapist. And, you know, Darlene, it's good to have you back with us. How have you been?
Oh, very good. Thank you. I'm so pleased to be able to talk with your audience again.
I appreciate you. And, you know, I want to ask you, for the benefit of the members who were not with us the first time you and I spoke with each other, could you share with us what inspired you to become an attorney? And from there, what inspired you to also become a licensed marriage and family therapist?
Well, being inspired to be an attorney was actually a detour. I had been interested in international relations and politics, and so I was a poli-sci major at UCLA, where I went to school, and I wanted to work in the Foreign Service, and so I thought law school would be a good segue, good preparation for that. And then, frankly, the Vietnam War turned me off to working for government. And so I worked in entertainment law, some criminal first, and then entertainment law for altogether about 19, 20 years. And I wasn't really happy at it. For a long time, I was learning the craft. And then I became more and more unhappy. And it's a long story, but I realized that wasn't really my calling. That I was that I had originally wanted to be a shrink when I was a child.
Interesting.
And I was reading Freud when I was 12, and Carl Jung when I was a teenager, and psychology was my minor. And so I didn't, at UCLA, it was really, they didn't teach clinical psychology as much, which is the practice of it.
Mm-hmm.
They teached a lot of research, you know, experiments with rats and things like that, which totally I was not interested in. So I kind of lost interest in it. And anyway, it took me a while, but I finally got back to what my original calling was. And then it was very joyous to me to remember who I was. And part of my, I write a lot about codependency, and it was like my own codependency made me detour off of what I truly was meant to do. So it was a journey back to, and there's a lot more to it, to who I was and what I wanted to do. And I also wanted to be a writer. So now I'm both a therapist and a writer. I ended up fulfilling both goals.
That is awesome. And you use that word, fulfilling both goals. And I can only imagine that you are very fulfilled within yourself now that you're back into your calling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's shifting. So I've been doing this for 30 years now. So things are always evolving, and I remember when I started graduate school, and the interviewer said, when I was interviewing, and he said, why do you want to do this work? And I said, I started to cry, and I said, it's just a joy. It's like taking heart vitamins. And so that's how it is working.
That's awesome.
Very different.
Well, I'm glad you made that move. And although you did not go fully the clinical psychology route, you did become a licensed marriage and family therapist. And so marriage.
No,
and,
I did. And, I got a master's in, I went back, got a master's in clinical psychology. So I did.
I'm sorry, you did what?
I did go back to school many years later and got to a different, I went to Antioch and got a master's in clinical psychology.
Gotcha. Okay. Okay. And so, and of course, that is just a wonderful field to be in. So many people needing that kind of help. And so there you are doing what you do and learning so much. I mean, you're covering so many bases. I reminded the Speaking With Community that the last time you and I spoke, you guided us through a discussion on narcissism, and wow, which is a very, very interesting area. But that today the discussion would be about self-esteem.
Well, that's a good segue, because being with a narcissist or having a narcissistic parent undermines self-esteem.
Yes. Yes, indeed. And do you see, is this a situation, I know we're in the 21st century now, almost halfway through it. Does it seem like narcissism is on the rise now, or does it seem like it's about where it may have been 20, 30, 40 years ago?
It's a good question. Too early to really figure out, but some researchers say, no, it's been about static, or over time. But then some other people are saying in young people, there's always more narcissism among young people. Maybe the question is, and that's where a lot of the research is, unfortunately, with like college students, because they're readily available to researchers that work on campuses usually. So maybe they'll outgrow it or maybe not. Don't know. Mm. I think it's an open question. But just taking selfies and things like that, that's not a diagnosis of narcissism. You know, you could be selfish or self-centered, and that doesn't make you a narcissist.
Right, right, right. So, since that the discussion on narcissism segues into the discussion on self-esteem, should we just give people just a brief review of what narcissism is about, what it really is, and then move from there to talk about self-esteem, what it is, and some of the progression that we have in mind in that discussion.
Okay, well, there are a lot of things. You don't have to be with a narcissist to have low self-esteem. It starts in childhood. So it's kind of, I was making a connection there, but it's not necessarily, a connection. But a narcissist is a personality disorder, and that means it's pervasive. They're seeing more and more, there's genetic ingredients to that, possibly. And there's 9 traits. You need 5 of them. Some of the core ones are lack of empathy and wanting an excessive amount of attention, grandiosity, a feeling of entitlement. So that you deserve more than others, like you deserve special treatment. You don't have to wait in line. And you think of yourself as, you know, you really should be, get the Nobel Prize, or you should be a billionaire, or you should, you know, get a lot of attention and be recognized. Now, not all narcissists are extroverted, like people point to Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. Some people, they call them introverted or covert narcissists. And they sometimes may be deferential to people, but they have this secret feeling that they're better than everyone, and they deserve a lot of attention. So they might be even helpful to people. Sometimes you see this in the clergy.
Yes.
Someone who is always helping or a philanthropist, but that doesn't make them less a narcissist.
That is so interesting. And if I understand it correctly, another trait that narcissists may have is that they don't really respect boundaries.
Well, a lot of people don't respect boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but is that problem worse for
with them? A narcissist, yeah, because the thing with a narcissist is they don't see other people as separate. They're just, the picture of a person looking in a mirror, mm-hmm. kind of like the Snow White's mother. If you had a mother like that, you're really in trouble. It's like, who's the fairest of them all? They only see their own reflection. Everyone else is an extension of them. So they don't have empathy for the other person because they only think of their own needs. I have a lot of blogs on my website, mm-hmm. what is codependency.com about narcissism, about the personality. Can a narcissist really love? And what it's like to love a narcissist. What's it like if you had a narcissistic parent? What narcissistic abuse is? What it's like to be in the relationship with them, and articles, peer-reviewed articles about treating narcissism. So if people are more interested in that subject, they can go to my website. I also wrote a book dealing with a narcissist, because it's very difficult to be have a close relationship with one, and there's special strategies that are recommended to practice with a narcissist.
Awesome. Ladies and gentlemen, I encourage you to visit. Would you give the website just before we go to break?
Whatiscodependency.com, all one word. You can also type in my name, DarleneLancer.com, and the blog is, it's the same blog, so you can get there that way.